Jeffrey's last words were, "It is open to every one of us." And with those words in mind, could we turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine, of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. And the days of his separation, all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate, and he shall again consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because the separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite: when the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord. With a basket of unleavened bread, the priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation, and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. The priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with the wave breast and heave shoulder. And after that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the law of his separation. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In the latter part of the previous chapter, the latter part of Numbers chapter 5, Jehovah makes provision for the jealous husband. If an Israelite suspected that his wife had been unfaithful, there was a means by which the truth of the matter could be established. It reminds us, doesn't it, that our God is a jealous God. That our Lord is a jealous Lord. And we know that their love is strong as death, and their jealousy is cruel as the grave. In order that they might have us for themselves, the Father sent the Son, and the Son came and went into death and was buried. God's deepest feelings are the feelings that he has for his people. We've been learning that from the book of Malachi. There is a remarkable commandment that we find three times in the Old Testament, twice in the book of Exodus, when the law was first given, when it was given for the second time, and once, I think it's in Deuteronomy 18, in view of the children of Israel entering the land. And it's the commandment, thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. It shows us again that God has feelings, deep feelings for his people, feelings that we can be careless about, feelings that we can trample underfoot. But God desires that we might be sufficiently near to him so as to share his feelings. I take it that this is really the position into which the Nazarite comes. Jeff has reminded us that God has secured everything in Christ Jesus, that nothing can thwart his purpose. We shall be brought to glory, to the Father's house, to our heavenly home. We shall gaze on our Lord to all eternity. But God desires that we might be for him and be wholly for him here and now. I don't know how many times in the two epistles of Paul to Timothy we get the words, "but thou." Well, the picture's quite bleak, Timothy. That's quite true. But everything is secure in Christ. And there are the resources available for you, even in this dark day, to be everything that God wants you to be for him, as a man of God, as a servant of the Lord. We notice at the end of chapter 6 that there is this blessing, isn't there? From verse 22, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise, ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee." And I take it that the Nazarite, in entering upon his or her Nazariteship, has half an eye on these verses at the end. Blessing isn't only desired for oneself, no. Blessing is desired for the people of God, for all the people of God. And it should ever be so with us, shouldn't it? We have received the love of the truth. And we want other Christians, other believers to be in the good of it. We've been occupied with that side of things in our readings. We can make a difference. One brother devoted to Christ can make a difference. One sister devoted to Christ can make a difference. But there are certain requirements, aren't there? First of all, this matter of not drinking wine or the fruit of the vine tree. And what that signifies, I think, is simply that we are not seeking joy in earthly things. It's not that there's no joy. I think sometimes, naturally, I'm on the depressive side of gloomy. What the circular used to be called by some people, isn't it? The Glanton gloomy. What heavenly joy there is. Heavenly joy in this pathway of separation to God, separation to the Lord. It is a positive thing. The world knows nothing about the positive thing, the positive aspects of separation to the Lord, all they can see is that, well, he doesn't find his joy in earthly things. But, you know, there is such a variety of attractions now, aren't there? Thank God there are young brothers and young sisters who are really committed to the Lord. Really going on for him. But we are tested, aren't we? In relation to what we do find our joy in, because there's so much that's accessible. Those tremendous sites where there is very valuable ministry available, where there are all kinds of tools, where at the press of a few buttons you can find all the references in Malachi to the Lord of Hosts. Things can get checked out. Which is why, brethren, more and more say, don't quote me on that. We want to pursue the things that are proper to our heavenly calling. To be occupied with the Lord, with the spiritual blessings that are ours in him, to set our minds on things above and not on things that are on the earth. And to do this consistently, every day. No, we've only got one object before us, it's the Lord. We are devoting ourselves to him. We are seeking to follow him, and we're not going to be distracted by the 10,001 other things that the devil might dangle before us. Secondly, he had to let his hair grow, which speaks of subjection. Subjection. There is subjection to the Lord. We are here in obedience to him. We are here to do his will. We know what it cost him to do the will of God, but we want to do his will, whatever may be the cost to ourselves. And to maintain this Nazariteship for the entire period of our lives. Really, what number 6 is talking about is just what is consistent with Christianity. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, for his mother. We can see again that what is being emphasized is the primacy of the claims of God upon us. In all things, the Lord Jesus must have the preeminence. We must put him first. Put him first in everything. You get to the meetings every Lord's Day. Do you remember the Lord Jesus every Lord's Day morning? Or do you sometimes find that there's something else you want to do? Are we those that forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is? We want to go on and be a support to the testimony and not a discouragement to our brethren. This is particularly true of younger people. You have no idea how encouraged your older brethren are to see you in the meetings. And if you're not there, If you're not there in your local assembly, you are missed. You are missed. And your brethren become concerned for you because we know that there are so many attractions, so many things that might draw us away from the Lord and waste our time. These chapters have a dispensational bearing, which I may just touch upon. Really, they can only be fully explained as they are considered in this way, because really these two chapters have the remnant of the Jews in the time to come in view. And they will recognize that they have been unfaithful to Jehovah. They will recognize that they've not been so godly after all. And they will be like the Nazarite here who is defiled by the dead. They will wake up to the fact that there is sin in them. And that this sin in them works death. And that the working of sin in them even led them to reject and crucify the Lord Jesus. And when they are brought to that point by God, the first thing they do, the first thing they will do, is to bring a sin offering and a burnt offering. You notice it was, this offering was of two turtles or two young pigeons. They won't know very much at this point, but what they will know is that their Messiah came from heaven. And that he died for them. That their sins might be forgiven, that he died for them to glorify God, his Father. And then they will maintain their Nazariteship until the time is reached when they will drink wine, when they will know the fullness of earthly joy, when that marriage will take place that is foreshadowed in Luke, in John's Gospel, chapter 2. There will be a fullness of earthly joy. But we are considering too these verses as they may be applied to ourselves. And there was only one perfect Nazarite, wasn't there? And really we learn Nazariteship from him. And if we fail in the pathway, the failure has to be addressed. We cannot go on like Samson. We have to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. But then, at the end of our Christian career, as far as the Nazarite is concerned, what a range of offerings he brought. I'm not going to attempt to expound them, but what we can see is that in this pathway of Nazariteship, there was a learning of Christ. It was separation to the Lord. It was following the Lord. And we have learned him. And what we have learned, we can bring and offer to God. Our portion is not earthly joy at all. It's heavenly joy. His joy. Makes you bounce on the balls of your feet, doesn't it? What a God we have. May he help us to be faithful to himself and to follow the Lord until the Lord comes.